Everyone probably recognized that music. It was Beethoven's Fifth. I played it on the show because I thought it sounded challenging and tense. And we do face many tense political challenges in our life in America today. Well, probably all over the world. The show is Vocal Profiling Live. I'm Sherry Edwards, your host, along with a great panel of exciting people with us in the studio today. And, of course, tall, blonde Heather is back after a nice holiday.
Hi, Sherry. I'm glad to be back.
Great to have you back. People ask about you, Heather. For our new listeners, this is a show about the voice frequencies that we find in a sample of your voice that we take with a simple microphone. We just take 30 seconds of a sample of your voice right over the phone. We put that WAV file in our computer, and it comes out with a 4 or 5 page printout of who you are, who you really are, and what you are underneath all that huff and puff of your public-faced personality. We answer questions and generally attempt to help people make the most of their lives by helping them make decisions based on reality of what's underneath who they think they are. We sometimes invite the public to call in. We may do that later, but we have a lot to cover tonight. First, we have a few announcements. One, we're still collecting data on back pain. So if you've had back pain sometime in your life or even now, we'd like to hear from you. So write to us at radio@vocalprofiling.com or heather@vocalprofiling.com or just call us here at the Sound Health Institute at 740-698-9119. Heather, don't we also have that on our site?
That is on our website, NutraSounds.com. On the media section, you will find a link to our back pain survey. So if you're interested in becoming involved with our little project we've got going on here, well, it's actually a pretty big project. Just fill that out and get that back to me or one of the staff here at Sound Health, and we'll cure some back pain.
Ooh, we're not allowed to say cure, Heather.
Yeah. Sure.
And there may be a surprise in it for you, too. We just want to hear from people who have back pain a bit about it and what you've done about it and how much it costs, because we have something called the little back box, and we can help people alleviate the stress of back pain. Now, the FDA made me say it that way, stress of back pain. Okay, number two announcement, and we have three or four today. We're going to continue to offer our online classes. The difference now is that there's a fee for the course. We told you at the beginning of the year it's going to be a fee to teach you how to take a sample of your own voice and create printouts on your own computer. There are scholarships available for those who need a bit of financial support. And three, this is the last announcement, but it's a long one. This is a marvelous announcement, and I don't know quite how to make it. I tried to get somebody else to because I was chicken, but no takers, no way to do it. There was a recently published book called The Tree of Life by Sylvia Franck. In that publication, she talks about the secret codes of life that were entrusted to the bloodline of the Knights Templar. And for those of you who've seen the film or read the book, The Da Vinci Code, you know what I'm talking about. And if you don't, run out and buy the book. It's absolutely fascinating and based in historical fact with a bit of myth, some say. In this publication, the author talks about the keepers of the secret codes of mankind, much like in The Da Vinci Code when the star was in the bloodline and he knew somehow intuitively where those secrets were. And the keepers, the modern keepers of the bloodline that she names is Royal Rife. A lot of you know Raymond Royal Rife for developing the technologies of an electro microscope that kills harmful microbes, and the FDA ran him out of business and ran him out of life, really. Another one was Wilhelm Reich. He was an expert on argon life force accumulators, and the FDA didn't like him either. He was sentenced to 2 years in prison. And in August 1956, several tons of his publications were burned by the FDA. That's atrocious. Alfred Tomatis was named. He's an ear, nose, and throat physician, and he cracked the codes of the relationships between the voice and the ear, and using those codes, he was able to help learning-challenged children and adults relearn how to talk and hear. There are only a few people mentioned. All the ones I have mentioned already are deceased. And to my absolute amazement and delight, Sherry Edwards was listed as a modern practitioner of the Holy Grail. That's just awesome. Thank you. The author goes on to describe our work with frequencies and vocal codes in an absolutely graceful way that shows that she has a very deep understanding of how we use the voice to gain information about a person. Now, we've had other honors listed in lots of books, well, like the Duke University Book of Alternative Medicine. The works, I've been named Scientist of the Year. I've received an award with John Nash. He was in the movie The Beautiful Mind. I thought the highlight of my career was when I was invited to teach at a medical school on a permanent basis. And I just don't know how to describe this. Pauline would say it's over the top. Pauline's visiting with us from Australia. And Pauline, you brought this honor to our attention. What do you think about it?
Well, it's written by someone who's very interested in Rudolf Steiner's philosophy, Sherry. And people who are interested in his philosophy tend to go into a very deep study of the human being. They're not given to transitory ideas that just titillate you for a few weeks and into fads and things. They really go into it in a very deep level. They're committed very much to the activity of thinking deeply. So for you to be acknowledged in a book that's full of a lot of Steiner's work and ideas, it's showing that you would be considered to be very grounded in your work, that it's a deep level that you're working at for Steiner people to acknowledge you like that.
I was astounded by it, but I'm astounded by the work that we do all the time. And you're here to spend a few months with us. And while you were here, we've been working on some of your health issues. Would you talk about that a bit and how vocal profiling fit into that?
Yes, it's really fascinating for me over the years to see what's happened to me. I've had a hip replacement a year ago, and the leg's coming on fine, but there's still a weakness there, and I have trouble on stairs. But working with Sherry, certain muscles were identified that took away that pain, and I'm still using them because if we don't do the right thing, then these things can come back. But it's just showing immediately, like within 2 minutes, there can be a change. And that's what fascinates me.
And you didn't hurt and you weren't limping?
No, I could get up and down and I could walk normally. And a lot of the issues were dealt with. Not every muscle yet, and it's an ongoing process.
One of the most fascinating things about your case was your macular degeneration and the reversal of that.
Yep. Yes, I had a blind spot in one eye that was about the size of, in our money, 50-cent coin. How big would that be? Oh, about an inch across. And that meant there was absolutely nothing visible with the one eye in that blind spot. When Sherry was working on me within, oh, it took about 10 minutes. It took quite a few trials, and suddenly, within seconds, I could see writing in that blind spot. I wasn't able to read it, but I suddenly had sight coming back into that area. Further work, 2 or 3 days later, started to give me absolutely clear vision in fields within that blind spot. And I had the return of colour seen at a distance, which I'd lost many years ago. So that was very lovely to look at the our very colourful birds in our Australian bush and see at a distance the brilliant cap on the rosella and the blue on the kingfisher and some of those wonderful colours that our birds have.
And this is something you could not do before.
I couldn't see colour really clearly at all at a distance. So I'd miss a lot of colours.
What did doctors say to you about your macular degeneration?
Oh, well, they say sometimes it can change, but, this is a bit unusual.
So we took the codes from your voice, we got some frequencies, we fed them back to you, and your disease went away.
Mm.
I feel like this is a new medicine. Vocal codes tell us what's going on in your body and your personality. And what she says in her book and how she says it, it's not just something written or taken out of our literature. It's something that she put together showing that these vocal codes really are some kind of secret knowledge through the ages. And we for years have been able to use it to reverse diseases that normally were thought to be incurable. But I am just very, very honored that this is going on. Heather, can we get her for the show?
The video?
Can we get this author to be on the show with us?
I am working on that right now. She's a bit hard to find, but I've got her publicist helping me out on that.
I really would like to know how she found us.
Well, what's the other thing that's intriguing to me, Sherry, that the individuals named aren't belonging to any group. It's like it's come out of the individual and not out of the belief system or anything else that they were involved in. It's come through the individuality of each of those people who are named, such as yourself and Ross.
Well, they created a system, and it's all based on frequencies. Everyone here, Tomatis, Rife, and Reich, and even our work is all based on frequencies. So that's some common denominator of what's going on. When we look at the mathematical matrices that we've created, and we look at this math really as the blueprint of the body, that brings it all together to me. I have this knack of numbers, and you can look at the numbers and tell what disease somebody's going to get or what they're going to die of. And it's just awesome to me. I never understood it and still don't understand it completely.
But, in a way, the basic setup of being on planet Earth is sound. It's creative. It creates matter.
Well,
and many people have done experiments with that to show how it can form and create and make three-dimensional shapes. So it just makes sense that this is things resonate in our bodies and somehow you're connecting to that resonating to bring about a coherence in the pattern of our bodies.
And I think the first people that are going to represent this and recognize it are the people that have reincarnated in the time when that secret knowledge is going to come out. And I'm just real honored that we're part of being able to do that with vocal profiling. Okay, enough of that. I want to really believe that's part of it because I felt so akin to what was going on in the Da Vinci Code, and I've read some of the literature about the Holy Blood, Holy Grail, and I felt real close to it. But to have somebody come out and say it in public, I'm just like, bowled over.
Yeah, but you're more sound than even the Da Vinci Code novel. This is what her book's pointing out, that there's a different stream that isn't so misguided. It's a very interesting book. It's worth having a look at.
Tree of Life by Sylvia Franck, Franke. Okay, on with the show, because this is a first in a series, and we're going to evaluate the presidential candidates. Tonight, well, we already did Ron Paul, and are those posted too?
All of those are posted. I think we've got three of those posted.
We're going to do a more modern one, right?
Mm-hmm.
We found Ron Paul to be absolutely truthful, and at the time I hadn't heard of Ron Paul, and I could not believe his print. It was so consistent. I did it two or three times. And at that point, I jumped on his bandwagon because that's the kind of president I want, someone who's truthful, who's consistent. And so you've chosen this, Heather, you've chosen Mitt Romney tonight. Why did you choose him?
Well, I tell you what, with the Iowa caucus being held tonight, I've been listening to all of the news broadcasts going on, and I was listening to NPR this morning, and they had been talking about the candidates. and they brought up Mitt Romney and how he's really making a big leap forward here as time goes down to the wire here. And I realized that I just didn't know a whole lot about him. To be real honest, I wanted to find out a little bit more about him. The only thing I really knew was that he was a Mormon. And I'm wondering why is that the only thing I know about him. So the easiest way to find out what kind of candidates these are is to get a vocal print.
And you got this for it. And you are also planning to have a former presidential candidate on the show. So we'll mix that up and have that in here, too. And you've planned for next week Huckabee?
Huckabee, yeah, just because him and Mitt Romney actually seem to be having a little quarrel at the moment.
Ooh, what is that? That's awesome.
Well, Huckabee, let's see. Romney has been blasting Huckabee's record on crime and taxes as governor of Arkansas in television ads in the last days of the race.
And
a little bit of mudslinging going on.
And Tommy, another person on the panel here, you can talk about Huckabee freely because you're from Arkansas, right?
Yes, and I had the pleasure of meeting him, if you want to call it pleasure. But see, he's very likable. But as far as that goes, I don't think that would carry him into the presidency, just on that merit alone.
We're going to listen to his vocal print and then talk about what that indicates and if that's the kind of person we'd like for president. And also tonight we're going to discuss how the media is attempting to manipulate opinions about the candidates and other aspects of our lives. Tommy, you've been introduced. You're a musician, just passing through on a tour.
Yes.
And Nikki, you've been with us before. You're heading the diet study. We want to hear a little bit more about that before we go on to listen to Mitt Romney. How are you doing on your diet study?
We're progressing nicely with the diet study. We have most of the database done, and we're ready to move forward with it.
And you've got some guinea pigs you're trying it on?
Yes, yes. A lot of them are ladies here that work in the office.
And you've been able to divide people up into categories, haven't you?
Yes, yes. There's four. We've read some books on glandular problems, and there's four different types, body types. And so we're able to put people in those categories and kind of determine what their issues with weight are.
Okay, and how many pounds have you lost, Nikki?
33 pounds so far.
All right.
Wow.
I didn't do so good over the
holidays.
But I maintained. I didn't gain.
That is good. That's good.
And you come in here this morning with baggy clothes.
I hate when she does that. Buy some clothes that fit you, Nikki.
And she was looking great.
I can't buy clothes till I'm done.
Oh, okay.
I have 25 more pounds to go, so.
If any of you want to write to us this evening, we have a new Skype address, Vocal Profiling Live 08. And Heather chose that because this is about the 08 campaign. And we are going to be doing each candidate. Heather, didn't a newspaper ask us to do this for candidates?
Yep, we're working with the, the BBC in Canada to do some of their parliamentary vocal profiles.
Okay.
Which is what we're doing here in the States.
Awesome.
And you can call in and speak to us live if you have an opinion or if you would like to hear us do other candidates or other people. I mean, we've done a lot of things. Famous people posted on our site. So in U.S. and Canada, it's 888-228-4494. And in worldwide, 877-489-6350. There's three direct lines. Go to bbsradio.com. Go to station number 2 and just pick off those numbers. I know you can't remember all those. And while you're there, why don't you make a copy of it so you can just have it by your computer. Also, as usual, you can get us at radio@vocalprofiling.com, and that will come directly into the email here, and we'll try to answer your questions. So I'm going to play the Mitt Romney cut. Now, why did you choose this cut, Heather, and what's it about?
Well, he's talking about how he ties religion into politics. I chose that just because is so telling of, I believe, of the kind of candidate that he is.
Okay, here goes. It's not very long. Take it back to the beginning.
They feel that religion is not a matter to be seriously considered in the context of the weighty threats that face us. If so, they're at odds with the nation's founders, for they, when our nation faced its greatest peril, sought the blessings of the Creator. And further, they discovered the essential connection between the survival of a free land and the protection of religious freedom. In John Adams' words, we have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution, he said, was made for a moral and religious people. Freedom requires religion, just as religion requires freedom. Freedom opens the windows of the soul so that man can discover his most profound beliefs and commune with God. Freedom and religion endure together or perish alone. When I place my hand on the Bible and take the oath of office, that oath becomes my highest promise to God. If I'm fortunate to become your president, I will serve no one religion, no one group, no one cause, and no one interest. A president must serve only the common cause of the people of the United States.
I like that. Is that the kind of president you'd like?
Yeah, he speaks very well. I mean, it sounds like it also sounds like he's trying to make or compensate for the fact that or that Huckabee is a minister, but first by trade. And so I think he's trying to say, I'm interested in religion too, and I think he's trying to gain some of the Huckabee audience or, you know, some of the voters in that way. I think that's where that angle comes from. But he really had some, it was very well said. I mean,
Romney's actually served as a part-time minister himself.
Okay.
In the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's one sentence in here that is a giveaway, and if you listen really careful, I'm going to play it again, and you'll find that there's no flavor, no harmonics in this one sentence. Cue it up here.
Alone. When I place my hand on the Bible and take the oath of office,
Did you hear that? What did you hear?
Like a flatness.
Yeah. A flatness to what he was saying. And we've tried to demonstrate this on the show before, how to tell when someone's lying. It's almost robotic if you can just catch it. And the other one that had this in his voice was Thompson. And we have his posted. There's one sentence there, when I become president. And it's so flat, when I become president. I can't even do it. But you can't hear any up and down and no flavor and no harmonics in the guy's voice. So that tells me he knows that's not going to happen. When we looked at his voice, we did like a 4 or 5 page printout, but this is the most telling of it. And this is posted right online mm-hmm. for people. This vocal print indicates a love of spirituality and humanity as a whole. The love of humanity is unusually split into two parts, physical action and naivete. Is that the kind of president you'd like?
I don't know about naivete. I need somebody who's not going to be walking into a situation sort of where they'll be ignorant of something or sounds like someone blissfully not in tune with what should be happening.
But he's almost spiritually naive.
Okay.
There is little planned action when he talks about the integration of politics and religion. The right and left brain hemispheres are clearly split. The left into mostly intellect, the right into spirituality with lots of physical energy. There's really no place to put that action. D&D Sharp is indicative of self-approval. The print indicates a lack of cohesion in this area. Gut-level values are right-brained, emotionally based, with only verbal communication and planning on the left side. There's a lack of personal foundation for the note of C which represents the ego. If this person were to become president, we would see a definitive split in leadership. One side would be intellectual and logical and not much else. His right brain side would be a champion of the people, and he would work hard to make this happen. There is intellect across the board, but spirituality and a need for public balance is overabundant. Heather, in all the things that you found out about him, is there an issue with balance going on there somewhere?
Well, a lot of his opponents claim, and I would have to agree to a certain point, that he fluctuates on where he stands on political issues, such as he told a group of people what they were Planned Parenthood he was speaking, that he was pro-choice in 1994, and he has turned around, and now he is pro-life. So somebody who's not consistent, I don't know if I would trust that in a president.
People aren't allowed to change their minds?
Well, they are, but he does it quite a bit, it seems.
Why was he talking to Planned Parenthood in 1994?
Well, he was a businessman, and then he was elected as Massachusetts governor. So I would say he was running for some type of office back then.
Okay, so you're saying you don't want people who change their mind with new information.
It seems to me like he goes with who the opinion that's going to please the most people, is what I'm saying.
Didn't we find that out about Hillary, too?
Yes. Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah. A champion of the people and work hard, that's great. But if he's going to do something that requires logic, that's all it's going to be. He's not going to listen. There is no emotion on the logic side of his vocal print. Do you think we need a more balanced kind of view? What do you think, Tommy?
Gosh, I was...
You are beating something out. Yeah, that's all right. When we look at this particular election, there's lots of people running, but I feel like the media is really trying to manipulate the candidates and a lot of other things. Our whole lives, to me, we've begun to look at news people as authorities, not just somebody up there reading the news that somebody else prepared. So we see that in the Ron Paul campaign. I saw two articles very recently, like 2 days ago. Ooh, I just noticed on my hands there's lots of little stars. That's really weird. look at that. Stars on the inside.
That's really weird.
Should cut that out. Far-fetched. But the articles I read about the campaign was one about Pakistan and how the presidential candidates felt about Pakistan and supporting Pakistan after the assassination of one of their leaders.
Benazir Bhutto.
Yeah. She was a political leader, and then this whole martyr came up, and even her stand became stronger. They were asking them what they would do. Now, this is Pakistan. And all of them said they would get involved and protect and support Pakistan, which really didn't, that's kind of nuts. Why are we going to go into another country where there's problems and try to hold it up? I had read Ron Paul's opinion. He said, we don't have any right to be dictating to any country.
Mm-hmm.
And we should get out of it. The constitutionalists. And they didn't mention his opinion at all. Then the very next day, the very same writer, Patrick Martin, wrote an article about campaign fundraising and all the records that all these people had broken. Now, Ron Paul has broken a lot of fundraising records. He has the top two one-day fundraising, $6.4 million in one day, and I think $5.3 was the other. And they didn't even mention him, and he'd broken all records. Now, people have the internet, and people who have been exposed to Ron Paul know the difference, but there's a lot of people out there that just listen to the news, read these articles that come out on the internet, and this, I can't even remember what publication this was, where this came out. It was something famous, but I can't remember. I'm trying to remember and got radio silence here. I don't want to do that. But what do you feel like, I mean, you're involved with the Ron Paul campaign because you work with Steve Vincent. I don't know your political bent, Tommy.
Neither.
Well, do you feel you're manipulated by the media?
I feel like they're trying to sway our public opinion. I do.
I feel the media.
Well, absolutely. They try to put their best foot forward. But we're swayed by the media by take this pill, tell your doctor to put you on this pill. We're swayed by, we had a show about Sicko and what was going on with Michael Moore and him trying to bring out information about the insurance and the health. That was deliberate manipulation on the good side, I think. Other people kind of hated it and said it was full of untruths, but when you talk to him and hear him speak, it's truth. He did take these people. They did have these problems. The government wouldn't help them, just kind of threw them away. And with Agent Orange and the Gulf War
syndrome, whatever.
Syndrome, they just kind of bury that kind of stuff. So who do you believe? Where do you get your information? You can't believe everything on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't believe the news people, we were grown up to trust Walter Cronkite, weren't we?
Yes. Oh, he was one of the most trusted. That brings to me, that recalls about something like some of the medical things that happen where some things maybe say they're cured, like bursitis is never spoken of anymore, but now we have rotator cuff. Supposedly that's kind of the same thing, I've heard.
And fibromyalgia.
Okay.
And they bring that up. What about, why does the media get to do that? What's our options here?
Their agenda, I guess, besides just...
The agenda is to try to show Ron Paul as a nutcase, I think. Or that he's not worthy of the news. And we think that. We're so in tune to, oh, only take this, eat this product, take this pill, because I saw it on the news. Advertising and some of these shows has created a reality that I just don't think... It's not real for me, anyway. But Sicko tried to create and show the idea that the insurance companies and the HMOs were really trying to keep us sick. I believe him. And there's a movie out right now by Will Smith, or as the star, I Am Legend, and shows government interference in our lives. And I think Hollywood, well, New York or wherever they make movies and shows, try to prepare us for what's going to happen. Have any of you seen I Am Legend?
Yes.
Tommy, yeah. You have?
I've seen it.
You've seen it? Mm-hmm. Have you seen it, Nikki? Is it about showing up what the government can cause as a mess when they try to help or cure something? What's the theme of the...
They have discovered the supposed cure for cancer. They were giving a cancer vaccine, and instead of curing cancer, they created a whole race of zombies.
Is that reality? I mean, you think that could ever happen?
I think anything's possible.
Well, you look at the smallpox vaccination crap they were trying to put on the hospitals here, and our hospital refused to take it because so many people had dropped dead of heart attacks from the vaccination. Did they not thoroughly test this?
Well, same with autism. I mean, it's on the rise, it seems.
Yeah.
And what's that due to vaccination preservatives or stuff that's put in there to, like a carrier, whatever, for the...
Well, the government and the drug companies try to say that vaccinations do not cause autism. Yet they put together a fund, government-sponsored, now not the vaccination companies. The government made them exempt from paying any damages. So the government set up this fund, and they've paid out millions and millions and millions of dollars to vaccination-caused issues, challenges, whatever you want to call them. Now, isn't that crazy? The government says it doesn't exist yet, yet it pays people and makes them prove that it did happen? That's just nuts. So we can't believe our insurance companies. We can't believe our news people. We can't believe our HMOs. We can't believe our government. We can't believe our candidates. Should we believe reality TV? I mean, is that real life?
They spin reality TV, too.
They spin it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm thinking about the new papillomavirus. They want to get everybody immunized, and the commercials are these young girls saying, I want to be the first.
Yeah.
I want to be the first, and, you know, that's what teenagers want to do. They want to stand out and be the first, and they're, you know, dancing around and look all happy and because they have the immunization for the papillomavirus, and it's supposedly stops them from getting cervical cancer. And you discovered recently that they're trying to get boys now to take it because they say they're carriers of it.
Well, there was just a recall a couple of days ago about a tainted papillomavirus for the boys. It didn't say what it did. Now, they obviously didn't do enough testing on this. Yes? No?
No. Not enough.
They didn't do any. They didn't do enough testing on smallpox. If you listen to Dr. Carley, who's
just like an I Am Legend, they didn't do enough testing because then
everybody jumped on that. Let's get that vaccine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did the government approve it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So everybody who had cancer, it reversed, but this was a side effect.
I don't think they even get into it that deep. They go from discovering the vaccine to, what, 4 or 5 years later, and New York is basically a jungle, and only Will Smith is left.
And those who didn't become infected
were eaten.
The zombies ate them.
That's kind of weird for a zombie. I didn't know they ate.
You
know, this is one of the things that really ticks me off about our work. We can look at somebody's susceptibility to a vaccination or a pill, and we can see if it's appropriate for them to take, and we've got a pretty good track record.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lady here over the weekend that had hypertension, and they had her on a medication that was totally topped high in her voice. Now that means that the medication wasn't working, and it was, and her blood pressure was like 179 over 110 or something. So it was obvious it wasn't working, and they weren't monitoring her. If they had brought us in, we took her vocal print, we could tell what medication was most appropriate. And we've got a lot of doctors using that, and we've got parents coming here having us do their children before they get vaccinations. But how do we get a movie made about what we do so we can get airtime and have people believe in what's going on here? A little bit.
Well, how do you get past the media if they're going to have such control?
Well, Michael Moore gets past that.
We have to make zombies.
Well, we've been on coast to coast, and that was a wonderful experience, and they've invited us back, so we're going to do that. But I don't know where the end is. How do you stand up to a news person that makes millions of dollars a year and what they're reading, they research and say, why isn't Ron Paul in this list? Why are you, and to these candidates, why are you lying to us? What is going on in our society? What have we left out? What have we made important that can happen?
If Ron Paul was caught in a flash in somebody at the park or, you know, in a hotel room with...
That would be all over.
Yeah. Everyone would hear Ron Paul. He's good. We don't hear about good. We're good. We don't hear... If we made zombies, we'd talk about it.
God forbid.
Ron Paul is too good. I mean, they're not going to say anything about Ron Paul unless he does something scandalous.
Well, another thing that gets people noticed, unfortunately, is money. You know, if we have a bunch of money to throw around, we could probably, you know, pay somebody to go out there and yell about us, like Billy Mays. There you go.
Yes.
And make lots of movies.
Yeah.
Do you think even the programs on TV express our reality? Are they? I mean, I know things like Star Trek can't be what's real, but isn't there this whole genre of reality TV?
Oh, absolutely. That's a big thing now.
What are they trying to teach us? That to eat spiders on a dare is okay?
It's shock value, that the fear-based ones. Yeah.
Well, do you want your kids learning some of the things that go on?
I won't let them watch anything like that.
Well, some of the dangerous stunts that's going on?
And they do some crazy stuff, you know?
And a lot of it is the personality interactions or the psychological interplay that's going on. You'll see people in tears about, or maybe somebody who's been conniving and like a mole or whatever that's done something that no one else is aware that he was the baddie in the
right.
in the whole group. And it's just these kind of strange
backstabbing.
Yeah, and you don't expect that, and I just don't know if it really is very a good role model to show people how to be in a society. I just feel like it's detrimental in a way to have these.
What happened to things
real?
What happened to things like the Cosby Show that taught values?
Yeah, family values and.
Is that the kind of show you would like to watch? What do you watch
yeah.
on TV, Tom?
I don't watch much TV at all. I'm always on the go.
Do you watch the news?
I do watch some news, just but not much. I mean, just to see if any current stuff going on, but. It's so disturbing sometimes.
Well, this last assassination certainly was disturbing.
Yeah, I hated that 2007 ended on that note. I just.
Pauline, in Australia, is it different?
I've got a question. Yes, do you have any non-commercial television or radio? PBS.
Yeah, public broadcasting.
Is that not just a community-based?
It's national and international.
National.
But they also have the news.
Yes.
We have a channel that. It's like the BBC, I think, and it's non-commercial.
Do you find that is more reliable with information or broader in what they present?
Well, here the PBS station is run by the university, and they just give feeds. You know, they don't go out and see the news. And
they're not actually responsible for the programming, per se. I mean, they do assemble who's going to be playing at their time.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the control of the content, I don't think, so much.
No,
so I'm a fan of our national radio and television, and that is paid for by the government, but it is independent, and its policy is to try and put both sides of things, or it goes beyond where commercial television goes. It doesn't get into the tawdry so much, and it sort of has more thoughtful programs, and until people demand that a bit more, then you probably deserve what you get.
I think if aliens watched our TV stations, they would say we're beer guzzling, truck driving, tampon using, pill pushers.
That's great.
Pill pushers. Because you see medicine, you see trucks, you see beer.
Yeah.
What other commercials are there? Some food commercials.
Fast food.
And also probably think that we're inept at conflict resolution.
Extremely. That's a good point.
Absolutely, because a lot of it is just fighting and bickering.
Bickering, yeah.
I think they think we're sex addicts.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Why? What, because the commercials or the shows?
Both.
I think they would think that we're very shallow people.
Yeah.
Because everything's all about how you look and not who you are.
Well, that's a... They might view us as really strongly linked to our biological needs, whatever. Or they may think that we're more physical or more, you know,
caught up with our bodies
and not with spiritual pursuits.
How you look and what toothpaste you use, Pauline?
Yeah.
Do the news people in Australia have the same kind of clout that ours do? That they're seen as experts?
No, I don't think they are, Sherry. The news presenters are presenting news that's been prepared by the station, and I think in Australia the powerful people are the station managers and owners who could call the shots on what gets shown. If that's ever exposed and things have happened, then of course they try and reverse that. But there's a tendency for different stations to be very much under the finger of the owners or managers. And no, the news presenters are news presenters. They're not making the news. We go for the wacky things, the silly things, the naughty things that a group of men do by bowling up to restaurants or businesses and just going in with their cameras and doing ridiculous things at the front desks of places, like asking stupid questions, playing on words, going into car parks and giving fines to people because they really didn't park their car square enough. All people think they're real and give them a dollar, like, or 50 cents. And they film this, and that's sort of their, it's called the chaser's war on everything. And that can be quite controversial, but that's sort of fun stuff.
The reality TV that you were talking about today, Nikki, seems grossly ridiculous, and it isn't something I would ever want my children exposed to. I don't even remember the lady's name.
But I was talking about Tila Tequila.
Oh, that's a horrible show.
She is a bisexual female, and it's about her finding love. And
this is a real person or a cartoon?
No,
she's
this real. Is
real. And the show is about her finding love. I mean, she wants to find true love. So she has like 25 people all bidding for her attention, and the whole time she's making out and having sex with all of them.
Men and women.
But she's got to come up with one.
And they show this on TV as a real thing, reality?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't work out, so then they have a season two. But, you know, I didn't realize...
How much is she paying them?
Oh, it's how much she's being paid, because this is so...
I didn't realize how prejudiced I was till there was a show I like, and I don't want to say the show because I don't want that famous person to hear me and think I thought she was fat, but she was real thin and she was beautiful and I loved to watch the show. I loved to look at her and her husband, and then she had a baby and she gained weight and I could hardly watch the show anymore. We were talking about, you know, America being sexualized and our bodies and all that, and I didn't realize how prejudiced I was until I was like, I don't even want to watch it anymore.
Why?
Because she gained weight.
I was so distracted by the weight gain.
Because she'd had a baby, though.
Is it because you're having a struggle and doing all this study on your own weight project that came out?
I don't know, but...
Are you prejudiced against fat people right now?
I wonder.
Don't you love me anymore, Nikki?
Yeah. I wonder. We did a show on people being prejudiced against fat people, and I didn't think I was. But that really turned me around. Like, that's pretty shallow of me not to want to watch her now.
Well, look at the great lengths that society goes to show us that skinny, and when people turn sideways, you know, they're paper thin. Look at Paris and how there's probably not an ounce of fat on her, but I bet it's operations, and I don't know that she could be that disciplined. But the media in magazines shows us what should be. And you're talking about, what's her name, Tila?
Tila Tequila.
Tila, you know, and I'm a generation older than you, and soap operas were what people went by. They became their disease, and they wanted to name their kids after these soap operas and emulate their lives and all this double-dealing, double-crossing crap that went on. And I have a daughter, I'm ashamed to admit, that tapes these silly things and will drop everything to go watch the next episode of her silly soap. And look at Dallas and those kind of soap opera things that were on at night, and showed us how people ought to dress for dinner. And so the media really has an incredible impact. Do you want your daughters watching a show about a human being bisexual and screwing any and everything walking?
No. And, you know, I'm thinking it was Dallas, and now it's Dirty Sexy Money.
What is that?
The new show.
That's the
Don't
new
you want
Dallas.
To watch it now? With a name like that and Dirty Sexy Money, they've got it all right there.
That's the show this tequila lady's on?
No, this is, I mean, you're talking about nighttime soap operas, and now they've gone from names like Dallas to, you know, Dirty Sexy Money.
Are we getting worse as a nation? Our morals have just gone down the toilet? Heather's shaking her head.
Well, yeah, I think we as a society are becoming numb, and they need to amp up the shock value with each new show.
It's not only here, too, because I was in the U.K. for a number of years, and when I left and came back home here, and I went back for a visit, I noticed the TV had gotten more Americanized, more debased, and more, you know, just a lot more maybe violent or more dark. Before, there was lovely sitcoms and all that on British TV, and now they're going for this earthy sort of almost morbid or dark sort of tone, and it just, I knew it's an American influence, and
mm-hmm.
I was sad to see the change, but it's not only happening here, but I think people are embracing it. I don't know why.
We can turn the channel.
Yeah.
There's 500 channels we can watch now. And when the first episode of Married with Children that I watched was at my daughter's house, and her children were watching it, my chin fell to the floor. That, to me at that point, was an incredibly dirty show. And I mean dirty by the words they used, the innuendo, the daughter that was a sex fiend and the son that wanted sex and couldn't get it, and the wife who wanted sex and couldn't get it, and the husband who didn't want to put out. I mean, that's what it was like. But it's gotten worse.
Most shows insult my integrity. I don't know. They just rub me the wrong way. That's why I don't watch much TV.
Is there things, Heather, that you don't allow your boys to watch? What's their ages?
I have a 13 and an 8-year-old boys, both boys, and there is lots of things that I won't allow them to watch. There's a big thing on MTV that the friends like to talk about called Jackass, and they're just doing the most ridiculous, stupid, insanely stupid stunts, and everybody thinks that's so funny.
Bill was watching that one night, and there was a lot of crude sexual nudity.
Oh, yeah.
On there.
Yeah, they do. It's crazy. It's ridiculous.
What do you call it when somebody pulls down there? Mooning somebody. I mean, that's what they were doing. To see.
It gets a lot worse than that, yeah.
Nikki, how old are your kids?
The ones at home. The ones at home are from 8 to 17. Well, I have a problem because the 17-year-old can watch things the 8-year-old shouldn't be watching. The 17-year-old likes Tila Tequila. And
you let her watch that?
I mean, she's 17.
Yeah, so, she probably sees a lot worse in school.
Yeah, and, you know, it opened up some conversations for us because I was like, do girls, you know, make out with girls? And she said, yes, they do. So, I mean, the culture is way different, and
it is.
Tequila is a reflection of it. So yeah.
It almost seems like being bisexual is a cool thing now. I mean, can you imagine? I know there were lesbians in my high school, but if they come out and said, yes, I'm a lesbian, they would have been probably ousted from the school. Now it seems like, you know.
It's common.
It's common.
It's funny because
it's a fad. It's a fad to be.
Do you keep your kids from watching certain shows because of violence or sex or morals? Or, I mean, what's the reason?
For me, it's mostly the sex and stupidity factor. The violence things, you know, it's hard to keep them away. I mean, cartoons when we were little, like Roadrunner, what gets more violent than that? You know, it's hard to keep them away from violence.
That's a cartoon, though.
Yeah.
You just don't want them to start pulling some of those pranks, probably.
I don't want them to become stupid.
And you just don't want them to emulate the behavior. I know in a school over here recently, a girl made a video of her having sex. She was underage, and so was the boy, and it was just common to pass it around to their cell phones. I see you shaking your head, Nikki. You don't want to talk about that.
It was traumatizing. It was bad.
They took it with their cell phone and then they...
Yeah, they took it to school and they showed it in the cafeteria. And it wasn't just, you
know... Are they being charged?
It wasn't missionary. It was, you know, stuff you don't want to talk about.
Have they been charged?
No.
No repercussions?
Well, what would they be charged with?
Underage sex or rape or...
behavior.
Or immoral. Yeah, immoral behavior.
Because it's happened a case in Melbourne that some boys videoed on their phones and she was a special needs girl, like she was slightly retarded. She was about 15, and they've been charged. They've gone to court. They've rounded them all up, and everyone who had it passed to them, they were all interviewed.
I think this was consensual.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether it is or isn't. I think you'd find there might be a law there that's not what you do, what you're allowed to do.
Would you like a if this is normal behavior and TV shows our life and our reality, would you like a president that acts the way that you see some of these shows? I mean, or even to approve of a show like Jackass?
I would like for our president to have a little bit of class and intelligence and integrity.
Class?
Is that so much to ask?
Class?
Could he watch I Am Legend?
He could watch that.
He could watch
New
Zombies. Zombies.
Yeah.
Class, intelligence, and morals.
Would he be able to? Would he be able to control what we see on the media? I mean, he's going to be that dictating that much?
You know, I mean, I'm not a big fan of any kind of censorship, but there are certain points to where, yeah, there things do need to be slowed down. You know,
what's our fascination with blood, guts, gore, and sex? Is it us? We're the audience. We should be able to do the changing and say no more of that crap.
Yeah.
Am I just some stick in the mud that wants it different? I want the Cosby Show and good examples of conflict resolution for my kids, my nieces, my nephews, my grandchildren. It's got to stop somewhere. Does it stop with us putting up with censorship about something as important as a presidential election?
Just do something else than watch TV. If people didn't watch, then they're stuffed and you're better off. Just do something else. Learn to play music. Learn to cook. Go for walks. Do something unusual. Switch the thing off.
Okay, thank you. We have a complacent society. And I think that only we can change it. See if I can get my music back on here. For those of you who want your vocal prints done, give us a call. Write to us. Jump on our internet. NutriSounds.com. Huckabee next week.